So the problem with being a superpower is that there's nowhere to go but down. So when a billion Chinese, anxious for success and ready to compete, start edging toward the top, it's easy to notice the rust around the edges in America. The rot from within, the failure to keep up. But what is the real measure of competitive success? We hear a lot about how mediocre American students do compared to the rest of the world in math and science. But is America in academic decline? Are the Chinese beating us? And is such a comparison even relevant? Joining us is Ben Wildavsky. He's a senior fellow in research and policy at the Kauffman Foundation, author of The Great Brain Race, How Global Universities Are Reshaping the World. And he wrote a piece called Think Again, Education for Foreign Policy Magazine, which really sort of blunts the conventional wisdom on our supposed unfavorable comparison with the Chinese. Ben, good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, why is everything we know about America's performance compared to the rest of the world in math and science wrong?
Well, you know, I don't know if I would say everything is wrong, but, you know, we hear a lot of alarmism about, you know, how terribly we're doing. I think we've been hearing, you know, for decades, really, that we're terribly behind the rest of the world and we're getting worse. And, you know, this happened most recently when these international test scores, the so-called PISA scores, were released back in December, and kids in Shanghai and China took the test for the first time, and they were, you know, number one in the world. And the United States, you know, was, you know, number 31 out of 65 countries in mathematics, 23rd in science, 17th in reading. So we started hearing a lot of talk about a Sputnik moment. We heard from the Secretary of Education that these scores were a massive wake-up call. But, you know, it turns out that, yes, we absolutely need to improve. You know, our scores are not where they should be. But we're basically in the middle of the pack in terms of the OECD countries, the major industrialized countries. And in fact, you wouldn't know it from all the coverage, but our PISA scores actually improved since the last time those tests were administered in math and science. In reading, they were about level. So, you know, I guess the first thing to say is that, yeah, the scores are nothing to write home about. But they're not getting worse. They've been getting a little bit better. Education improvements tend to proceed sort of incrementally. There's no reason to panic, in my view. And I think we have to be careful. This is true in K through 12 education. It's certainly true in college and university education. We have to not buy into this kind of zero-sum thinking that somehow if other countries are doing well, that their gains come at our expense.
Right.
You know, I think we really shouldn't be so preoccupied with this kind of question of where do we stand in the pecking order. You know, we've got to be number one. Really, we want to make sure that we're not going backwards, and we want to make sure that we're beginning to make the kinds of improvements that we need to build our human capital.
And it's also important that we measure the right things in terms of evaluating where we're headed. Ben Wildavsky is a senior fellow in research and policy at the Kauffman Foundation. I mean, isn't it the case that one of the features of a nation on the rise, and if we were to take the PISA scores of U.S. students, say, back in the Gilded Age in 1904 or something like that, we might get the same kinds of results. One of the features of a nation like China is that it is on the verge. There's a sense of expectation that drives the passion in the classroom, and it's not the entire story.
Well, I mean, I guess one of the main things to be said about China is these scores were not for China. They were for Shanghai. And Shanghai is really a special case in China. It's not representative. It gets all kinds of government, extra government spending on education. It's a talent magnet. I believe there are various kinds of population policies that basically mean that just not anybody lives there. I think that we don't know how China would do in places like the U.S. and all the other places that do PISA.
So Shanghai versus Cambridge, Massachusetts,
well,
for instance.
Yeah, maybe so. And I think, or you know, Silicon Valley maybe. And you know, we China, of course, has lots and lots of very poor and much less educated rural areas. If you did a real national cross section, you know, I think it's really reasonable to assume that the scores would be lower. You know, that said, look, China does have some real educational strengths. You know, they have a real passion for education. I think there's huge human potential there. But, you know, my view, again, is that if the Chinese are doing well, you know, that's good for us. It's not bad for us. We're better off in a world where there's more educated people. We know education is associated with innovation and economic growth, and those are not things that stay within national borders. Those are things that end up spreading. You know, knowledge is what's called a public good, and it's something that's very hard to contain within a single nation. And those kinds of gains end up being good for the world.
And all an argument to keep focusing on investments in education, but not necessarily to obsess about the test scores and, panic over the simple sort of year-to-year issues of where America stands with the rest of the world. Ben, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Ben Wildavsky is a senior fellow in research and policy at the Kauffman Foundation, author of The Great Brain Race, How Global Universities Are Reshaping the World. And he wrote a piece for Foreign Policy magazine called Think Again, Education. You should take a look at it. If you have an idea on what America should do and how it should compare itself to the rest of the world, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at takeaway.org.